Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, thank you, Scott Shannon, and thanks to all of you for being with us. Here is our toll-free telephone number. If you'd like to be a part of the program, it is 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, we got so much to talk about today. Honestly, I mean, it's crazy. And the good news is we shall have enough time to get it all in. I think the most interesting story, I'll probably spend a lot more time in hour two of the program today, and that is the Trump immunity arguments, oral arguments before the United States Supreme Court today. President Trump's attorney, I thought, you know, raised very good points in his opening statement. Well, could President George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding or allegedly, quote, lying to Congress to induce war with Iraq? Could President Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad by a drone strike, which happened? Could President Biden someday be charged with unlawfully inducing immigrants to enter the country illegally for his border policies? You know, the answer to all of those questions, this is Trump's attorney saying it, is no. And prosecuting the president for official acts is an innovative, you know, without any a foothold or history or tradition, and it's incompatible with our constitutional structure. Just fascinating moments. The only thing I don't like about, and this came up, I think, in the one of the earlier hearings, you know, the absurd, ridiculous argument about, well, if the president wants to kill his chief political rival, would that be considered, one of his official duties? Okay. And that gets into the question of whether or not you're arguing really for unlimited immunity or absolute immunity versus limited immunity, which I think is the stronger argument in all of this. And I think that they all agreed with me based on listening to the answers of the justices. And I think that's what, the way this is going to end up coming out. If you go back to the 82 case, this was a civil case, Nixon versus Fitzgerald, and go all the way back to that. It was very clear that they said, no, on civil cases, you're not going to be able to hold a former president liable for actions taken while he was president. And I think that just I think where they're headed, where they're leaning is towards the issue of limited immunity. And I think that's how it's going to all play out. I think there are a couple of checkmate moments for the special counsel's attorney. I don't think, you know, their main argument that it would be a sea change to announce a sweeping rule of immunity that no president has had or is needed. Well, go back to the opening arguments of President Trump's attorneys. Could George W. Bush have been sent to prison for obstructing an official proceeding, allegedly lying to Congress to induce the war in Iraq? The left believes that. I do not believe that. I believe he did it with a sincere heart. He did it based on intelligence, which is never perfect. Could Obama be charged with murder for killing U.S. citizens abroad in a drone strike? Well, I would argue the answer is absolutely not. But what some of the justices were pointing out, and this is where maybe Justice Kavanaugh made the best point, I'm not focused on the here and now of this case. I'm very concerned about the future. I'm worried about the similar kind of situation applying here. And that was a prosecutor investigating a president in each one of these circumstances, and someone picked from the opposition party is how it worked. Now, it's, you know, this decision, he said, is a decision for the ages. I mean, that's and it is a decision for the ages, because the question then will be, will every president in office be filtering what is through the prism of, well, maybe I might be arrested and charged for something that I'm and a decision that I'm making that only presidents have to make. And is that a special dispensation given to a president. In a way, it kind of is. But I think they're going to end up adopting the Fitzgerald case, which was a civil case, and that's Nixon versus Fitzgerald. And they will adopt it as it relates to criminal cases. And I think they're going to fall down somewhere in the middle, which is going to be limited immunity. And I think this is going to be a big setback for the special counsel that wants to prosecute Trump. And I don't think that this is going to be a short process. If they remand it to a lower court and the lower court has to make a very specific decision based on very specific allegations, well, at that point, it's going to get very complicated again. And if I had to guess, I would be leaning towards the Supreme Court probably bringing some finality to this, like in the Nixon Fitzgerald case, where presidents do have limited immunity, that they can make decisions, right or wrong decisions, in the capacity of being the commander in chief and the president of our country. I thought that, you know, Kavanaugh saying President Ford's pardon, very controversial in the moment, hugely unpopular, why he lost in 76, now looked upon as one of the better decisions in presidential history, I think, by most people. You know, if he's thinking about, well, if I grant this to Richard Nixon, could I be investigated myself for obstruction of justice on the theory that I'm interfering with the investigation of Richard Nixon? What a good point that is. Kavanaugh then even later made the point, well, what about Obama's drone strikes that killed Americans? Excuse me, those are all really strong arguments. The main argument of the special counsel's attorney, a guy by the name of DeBreen in this case, I think it would be a sea change to announce a sweeping rule of immunity that no president has had or is needed. That's because there's never been weaponization of the law like there has been against Donald Trump, because all the cases that I previously mentioned, including Obama and George W. Bush, just to name two, would be applicable here. And I think we've also had a perfectly functioning system that hasn't seen occasional episodes of presidential misconduct. Gorsuch, by the way, here's some advice if you're an attorney arguing before the Supreme Court. Don't piss off one of the justices in the case, because I don't think that actually works to your benefit here, because Gorsuch at one point was getting very annoyed with the special counsel's attorney about the use and the term of immunity. And I thought that was actually a fairly entertaining moment. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of complexity to this case on the one hand, but a lot of simplicity to it as well. And that is, a president cannot do his job if he, in the back of his mind at any moment, he's thinking what he's doing is he's going to be prosecuted on after he leaves office. Anyway, we'll get into that. We have our legal panel coming up at the top of the next hour. I think you'll find it pretty interesting. Also, the latest out of the Trump witch hunt trial that has been going on. That, of course, in New York. President Trump got his day started, you know, hours after a very dazed, confused, confounded President Joe Biden blurted out, four more years, pause. That might be my favorite of all time. Anyway, so Donald Trump went out there, made a surprise visit to a New York City construction site where he's meeting with carpenters and pipe fitters and welders. And they gave him a hero's welcome. I think we've got the tape.
USA! 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 USA!
Now, one of the workers was asked by somebody in the media about Biden. Listen to this.
What's it like seeing so many Republicans in Manhattan, so many Trump supporters in Manhattan? Does that surprise you?
No, not at all. It's turning now. Trump's turn again.
What's your message to Joe Biden?
F*** you.
Okay, there you go. A New York construction worker. Love those guys. They're the best. Anyway, Daily Caller, 51% of Trump, the issue of Trump's idea of, no, we're going to send every one of Joe Biden's unvetted illegal immigrants home. Now, Daily Caller put out a poll, 51%. Approve of Trump's mass deportation plan, 68% of Republicans, 46% of independents. That is a sea change from where it was before. Oh, one other issue that came up today on the legal front that I wanted to tell you about. It was kind of a nice change to see a D.C. judge, Anna Reyes, just ripping Biden's weaponized Justice Department for instructing two lawyers in its tax division to disregard a congressional subpoena in the Hunter Biden investigation, all while it has been zealously prosecuting Trump officials for the very same offense. And the two of note that we have discussed at length, for example, Peter Navarro is spending 4 months in jail. He's sitting in, why? Because he defied the subpoena for the January 6th committee. Steve Bannon is awaiting, you know, an appeal in his particular case. He may end up in jail as well. And by the way, for the record, both of them had the option and the choice. They could have gone in, pled the fifth and left and no harm, no foul, and they would have walked away. But they both wanted to stand on principle and say no. And you got to give them credit for that. Yesterday, the day before, I've been calling on Arizona Republicans to amend their Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court of Arizona's abortion ban, before Democrats use it to destroy Republican chances for winning the state. And thankfully, the Arizona legislature has taken a major step in the right direction. My sources on the ground in Arizona tell me the House, the Senate will follow suit as the Arizona House of Representatives approved a bill to remove the state's strict abortion prohibition. This vote comes 2 weeks after a judge ruled the state could enforce an 1864 legislation, which contains an exemption only for cases in which the mother's life is in danger, not for rape or incest. And anyway, they repealed the legislation, and you saw what happened, how immediately the Democrats tried to pounce on this and turn this into a political issue. Democrats sending out Kamala Harris, not exactly the best person to send out for anything, but, you know, basically to weaponize and politicize the issue of abortion. I've been telling Republicans, you better understand that abortion, they are going to demagogue this to death. If you look at that open George Santos seat, more ads run by Democrats about abortion, and the Republican candidate in that race was not anti-abortion, didn't run on it, didn't stop them from lying. By the way, there's a lot of chaos apparently surrounding Kamala Harris. A Secret Service agent on her detail was removed from assignment after a physical fight while on duty. Anyway, the chief of communications for the U.S. Secret Service called the incident a medical matter. But anyway, this Secret Service agent assigned to Harris's detail was removed from the assignment. Apparently, there was a fight that took place. First reported by the New York Post, confirmed to FoxNews.com. The incident happened at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland while Harris was at the Naval Observatory, and it didn't delay her departure. But however, the chief of communications for the Secret Service called it a medical matter, adding that the agency wouldn't be commenting ever any further. But at approximately 9 a.m., we're told the U.S. Secret Service special agent supporting the vice president and her departure was displaying behavior that colleagues found distressing. And one of the other agents confronted this person, and the agent had to be removed from their assignment, and medical personnel were summoned. And the U.S. Secret Service, obviously, they took the guy's gun away, let's put it that way. So they obviously took it very seriously. I think more people are laughing at Joe Biden saying, four more years, pause. Remember the movie? Remember, what was it? The Anchor movie? What was the Anchor? Ron Burgundy? Yeah, Ron Burgundy. It was Will Ferrell that played that, right? Okay, very funny piece. But his gaffes have been off the hook. I'm telling everybody that he can't get through a single day without having a bad day.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years.
You can't make it up. Oh, Biden signs a bill that's going to ban TikTok in 9 months and force the sale of it. But the Biden campaign is still using TikTok and says they're going to continue to do so. Wow. Biden is running as far away from this campus chaos as possible because Joe Biden wants the votes of the lunatics that are running the asylums and that are supporting these pro-Hamas movements on campus. It's a pretty unbelievable time we're all living in. I can't believe it. By the way, speaking of which, you know, I met somebody yesterday who is one of the leaders of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. if you had any idea how, when I heard the magnitude of need that they have and all the great work that they're doing, you have hundreds of thousands of Israelis now have been displaced from their homes. And we're talking about a lot of older people, people that are not fighting for the IDF. The country's focused on its survival, and they are focused on helping displaced Israelis. And at the same time, they have these mobile bomb shelters they're putting in strategic places all around Israel so they can save lives, because they never know when another rocket attack is going to begin. And they're doing phenomenal work. And honestly, the one thing they need more than anything else is just the money so that they can offer food and medicine and supplies and these mobile bomb shelters that are saving lives as well. Whatever you can do, however much you can donate, it is desperately needed. And what's great is, you know, the Christian community, the Jewish community coming together to help people that are in dire straits right now. Go to their website. It's one word, supportifcj.org. That's supportifcj.org.